fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to talk again today about belonging to God. It's a beautiful verse in Psalm 100. Just read the whole psalm, which is very short, that talks about the fact that we belong to God. And this is something that is so much what the Holy Spirit wants to be able to do in each one of us as well, is to give us the confidence and conviction that Christ dwells in us, that he's made his home in us, and that he's purchased us with the price of his blood, and that we're no longer our own now, but we belong to him. Let's look at a few passages today that help understand that truth, because it's so important to so much of what we're meant to be and do in the kingdom of God is the starting point, is to say, to whom do I belong? My life belongs to another. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. What a beautiful little, just five verses long. First begins by saying, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Why is the psalmist singing? Why is he exhorting his people to make a joyful noise to the Lord and all the land to give praise to God and to worship him? And worship is a form of service. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. One of the services that we render to the Lord, one of the ways in which the disciples of Christ serve the Master, serve the Lord, is that we worship him, that we give him thanks, that we acknowledge him. It's a characteristic. You see that so much throughout the scripture. We're being exhorted by the apostles and others to worship the Lord all the time, really in our heart. Let a song be present, to live with songs, hymns, and inspired songs coming out of our mouths whenever we can, because we know who God is. We know God's greatness, God's majesty, God's goodness, God's love, that God is love, that God loves us, that God has shown his love for us in his Son, Jesus Christ, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not die, but have everlasting life. So the psalmist only anticipated the coming of the Messiah. We who understand who Jesus is, that he fulfilled the heart cry of the people of Israel, that he indeed is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. We've been given his Spirit who sings in our heart, cries out, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. So we know a healthy disciple, a healthy Christian is someone who gives praise to God, to acknowledges him in all things, and lives a life of thanksgiving and gratitude. And he says, and serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. It's so important for us just to remember, friends, that one of the most important services that we render to God in our union with him, what Jesus has made possible in the Spirit, is to proclaim his goodness, to acknowledge him, to give him thanks. This is the temptation. This is the opposite of the great temptation that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1. And I've talked about it a few times on the program over the last few years. And Pope Benedict XVI talked about it as kind of the primordial sin and temptation to the human race, which is to what? Is to suppress the truth about God. That's what we're living through right now in our culture. We're experiencing again the craziness of the human heart, its lostness, as we push God from the human horizon, as we suppress the truth about God more and more. Humanity turns away from its fundamental call and duty and responsibility to God, its service to God, to acknowledge him and to give him thanks. So Paul said, they suppress the truth about God. They refuse to acknowledge God as God, that God exists, that God is good, that I belong to God, that my whole dignity and purpose and value of my life is completely connected to my Creator who designed me for a purpose. And instead of living in that freedom of welcoming that and being joyful and full of gratitude that I understand that I belong to him and that he's called me and dignified me to be able to come into his presence, to acknowledge him and worship him and have communion with him, The culture, again, is under the power of sin. Shouldn't surprise us. This battle is going to go on until the king comes again, definitively destroys the work of the enemy. But in the meantime, we're living in enemy-occupied territory. And the world, the resistance that's in the world, ebbs and flows in history. It's always present. But it's certainly clear that we're living at a time when large portions of humanity, especially in the West, have turned their backs on God, and all the masters of the universe don't want to think about, don't want to talk about, certainly want to create a culture and a civilization in their mind that is the only way to move forward. And that's a world without reference to God. So I talked a little bit about that yesterday and how much right at the heart of who we are gets undermined in a secular culture that demands that we not acknowledge God and certainly not acknowledge him publicly. Somehow we see then our minds are darkened and we see that that's somehow the way to freedom, to unity, to being able to live a stronger, more coherent life together. And it's just the opposite. So here the psalmist is saying, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands, and serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. You know, the death of Christ and the shedding of his blood has opened the way to the Father. The letter to the Hebrews breaks this fundamental truth about Christ's sacrifice on the cross open, that he cleanses us with his blood. He cleanses our conscience. And he makes it possible for us now, in the Holy Spirit, to come into the presence of the Holy God and to be united with him and to know him and to hear his word to us and to live with him. The next verse, verse 3, says, know that the Lord is God. America, know that the Lord is God. Civilizations come and go. America is not the kingdom of God. I'm not God. There's one God and there's one kingdom. And we're made for him, and to the degree that whatever civilization we're a part of, whatever country, world, to the degree that in that world we live in a way that gives acknowledgement to God or live a pattern of life that's consistent with the revelation of who we are as human beings and what our dignity and purpose is in this world, that's a way of acknowledging God too. Because we're living a life that says, I know God, and I know I belong to him, and I'm going to live in a way that's consistent with who he is and what he's called me to be. So verse 3, know that the Lord is God, that he made us, and that we belong to him. Such an important thing to be able to say to ourselves. Begin each day with this kind of psalm, this kind of acknowledgement. Who am I? Why am I here? Well, the starting point is I belong to another. I belong to God. And the value, the wisdom of my life, the purpose of my life, begins with that acknowledgement that I belong to another, and I'm going to find my fulfillment and my dignity in accepting the fact that I've been chosen. God has chosen me out of the world in his Son, Jesus Christ. Scripture says, you have been purchased at a price. Your life is no longer your own. That's that famous passage in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and following. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Isn't that an interesting line? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification were through the law, then Christ died to no purpose. Paul is making it clear here that something happened when I was united to the death of Christ on the cross in baptism. And there's a whole teaching in Romans chapter 6 where Paul talks about what happened in baptism, that we're baptized into Christ means we're united to what happened on Calvary. We're united to Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood. He paid a price for our sin. So he dealt with the sin problem. Jesus put away sin through his sacrifice on the cross. Jesus paid the price for the sin of the world on the cross, that the very Son of God, the most precious person who ever walked the face of the earth, Jesus Christ, made himself an offering to the Father. He offered life to God on our behalf. And his shed blood, Scripture tells us, cleanses us and makes it possible for us now to become all that we're meant to be, which is what? Children of God, in the family of God. And the terms, the radical understanding of Paul and Peter and the other apostles is something that's important for us to be able to internalize, to see that it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Faith is a way of knowing. It's a way of seeing. It's a way of coming into an understanding of what reality actually is. Jesus opens up the curtain of the foundation and understanding of human existence. Where does it come from? Why is it here? What's its purpose? How do I find life? What am I facing in this world? What's my destiny? Where do I find my dignity? Where do I find my value? And Paul says, it's in one place. It's in Christ. I'm no longer fooled by the deception of the world that somehow I'm an autonomous creature or that I'm here by accident and all I have is my will and my freedom to exercise that will. Whatever goals I decide for myself, and I define my own value, I define what's true. And the point of this world is not to belong to another, but it's to, you know, aggressively and insistently lay hold of or to insist upon my own autonomy, that the only way I'm going to be happy is to be radically free of everything, and that the only way to be free, which is going to be the road to happiness for me, is for me to self-create, to design myself, to design my own meaning. And so you can see in the breakdown of the recognition of the common sense realities in our culture today, what we're seeing is this underneath it, friends, is a radical resistance to God's plan, to God's purpose, to God's design. It's a rebellion against his right to rule over his own creation. It's people asserting, no one will tell me what to do. No one's going to impose their laws, their commands, their purpose on me. I'm my own master. I'm my own creator. And that's what it means for me to be free and to be human. And unfortunately, it's not just a resistance against like unjust political structures like a communist country that wants to force you to believe a particular way. It's actually deeper than that in people, and the way it's getting expressed today, even in the freest countries in the world, quote unquote, we're asserting ourselves against God. So Paul gives us this contrast. He reminds us, look, you belong to another. You've been purchased at a great price. And belonging to Christ means to follow Christ with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He didn't just free us to go so we can run off and just design whatever life we want to live and expect him to bless it. When we come to him, we die. We die to all that drive within us to be independent and radically autonomous. But we find our dignity in submission to Christ, in our union with him, becoming his servants, and our life is defined by following Jesus Christ. That's the great gift. That's what the psalmist is singing in his heart. That's what Paul and the apostles are teaching, and that's a truth we need to internalize in the grace of the Holy Spirit. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.